All right, guys, as I said last week, if there's one phrase that I want our church to be known for, we would be described as a church that is on mission. And so I kind of shared briefly last week that everything that we do, every ministry that we offer, when we offer it, the way our services are designed and our kids ministry operates, the worship, learn, serve, share, everything we do has been designed with the intent of fulfilling mission. And because that's the case, we want to make sure that you guys know the mission. We've had so many new families join us over the last year that we're like, hey, we haven't gone over this in a bit. We want to make sure that everybody is on board. So we're going to continue that this morning. But I'm going to ask for a couple of favors. Number one, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Romans 12 this morning. Romans 12, we're going to look at the first two verses together, just kind of a deep dive in Romans 12, 1 and 2. The second thing I'm going to ask is that you would grab a bulletin. Okay, listen. I know that last week the notes in the bulletin didn't match what I said, okay? All right, I did not know that at the time, nor did I look at my phone until after service. And I was like, hey, I have 12 messages saying these notes don't match. I can't explain what happened because the digital notes were correct, and I text Tiff the same thing that I upload unless I texted her something that wasn't auto-saved yet. I don't know. But they matched this morning. We double-checked. These notes are saved, okay? So, redeemed notes, here we come. So, notes, bulletin, either the hard copy or digital notes. We want you to take notes because if you're here, especially if you're checking us out, you need to know what we're about. That's the only way you're going to remember it. So, take some notes, family. It's going to be good. We've got some discussion questions when it's all said and done so that you can go home and talk about it further. We think that's how our goal of transformation happens. I'm going to pray, then we're going to jump into God's Word, and I think we've got a good Word, and we've got some great testimonies. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather to worship you. God, it is a gift. God, we want to thank you for everything you've done to make us right with you, that you sent your one and only Son. I can't even fathom the cost personally, but God, we're so thankful that we benefit from what Jesus has done. Holy Spirit, we want to recognize you every week. I try to step back and literally invite you to come and fill our pulpit and be our teacher and our guide, that you would teach us about Jesus from the inside out, specifically what it means to be a worshiper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here it is. It's on our website. You can find it. This is what we're about. Our mission, plainly stated on the screen, is FBCE wants to see families in Elgin's transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see. We want to see families in Elgin transformed by the gospel of Christ, loving through worship, learning through discipleship, and living through service and sharing of the gospel. Okay? That's it. That's it. We break that down into a little motto so that we can memorize a little easier. Worship, learn, serve, share. But it's the same thing. And the heart behind it that we talked about last week is transformation, is change. We want to see families change. Not because of what we do, but because we teach the gospel, because they come to know Jesus, and he is the one that brings about change, which is so good for me. Right? Because I don't know about you, but I made a whole list of things I'd like to do better this year. I've got about one of them working right now. Okay? Anybody else not gone to the gym yet? You're like, I'm going to get in shape. Nothing. Right? Okay. Good. You're my people. All right. So it'll happen. Most people quit, I hear, around January 10th. I'm going to start sometime after that. That way I'm past that quitting date. Just figure that out. So, it's good. It's good. So guys, that is our mission. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I want to dive in head first. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Okay, I want to make sure we can fit everything in. So this morning, what we're going to do, I've got three things I'm going to share with you quickly. Then we're going to hear another story of how God has changed a family in our church, brought about just an amazing transformation in their relationship. I can't wait for you guys to hear that. But three things I want to share with you about this passage and about worship. And here's the first, guys. I want you to know that worship changes us. All right? Guys, worship changes us. It does. Worship changed us. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 is really about how worship is more than just what we do here. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But I actually want to start with the second verse, right? I'm going to start with the second verse, which is verse 2. I'll put it on the screen. It says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed," that's our word, "be changed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." By the way, not today's sermon, but extra credit if you're one of those people that's always like, "I just want to know what God's will is." There you go, okay? That's a freebie for you this morning. Worship God. It'll help renew your mind, and then you're going to start to know the things of God. Like, it's pretty straightforward. But here, I want to talk to you about this verse, okay? So let's look at what Paul says. He says, worship includes a renewing of our mind. So worship includes a renewing of our mind that is contrary to all of the patterns of our surroundings. Okay? What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that you are surrounded, the world surrounds you, your television, what you read, the people you know, you are surrounded by something that is causing your mind to need to be renewed. Okay? So Paul says your mind needs to be renewed with truth. So we're surrounded by a lot of stuff that's not truth. A lot of people saying, "I got to speak my truth." Like, but there is only one truth. And so we live in this world with all of these voices. And listen, this is why worship's so important. We have to have our minds renewed. So there is a message contrary to the gospel. There's a message contrary to what God wants you to hear. That's what the world speaks. And God says, "Hey, this is really important. Worship is about you renewing your mind, getting the right thoughts in your mind." And I could take a deep dive on why this is so important, because when we believe the wrong things, then it causes us to act the wrong way and feel the wrong way. When we feel the wrong way and we feel the wrong way even more. It re-intensifies the wrong thought that we have. It's called a biblical stronghold. We've got to break free of that stuff. How does that happen? It begins with the renewing of our mind. And what is our mind renewed through? Well, according to Paul, it's renewed through worship. It's renewed through worship. Now, some of you, church is a new thing for you. Welcome, by the way. You're my people, okay? I didn't grow up in church. So if you're like, "I don't know what these people are doing when they're standing up and singing, that's weird. I don't do that anywhere else I go. I don't go into a restaurant and be like, 'I'll have...'" you know, like, that's not what I do. Like, what is going on here? And so I get it. Like, I wasn't raised in church. But here's what I came to learn. I became a Christian when I was about 20. But here's what I came to learn pretty quickly after becoming a Christian, is that even though I wasn't a Christian, I've always been a worshiper. Even though I wasn't a Christian, I've always been a worshiper. You see, the truth is that we all worship something, right? We all worship something. Before I was a Christian, I worshiped sports, and I worshiped girls, and I worshiped the thought of being successful and making money, because that's what my dad cared about most, right? I worshiped those things before I became a believer. We all worship something, but here's where I want to challenge you this morning. The Bible says, and this is a key idea, it's pretty dangerous, is that we actually become like the things that we worship. We actually become like the things that we worship. Psalm 115, God is talking to his people, and Psalm 115 says basically we should worship God and God alone. And then God looks at the surrounding people, the surrounding nations, not his kids, and he sees that they're bowing down to the sun and the moon and the stars, and they're making carved images and images out of silver and gold, and they're called idols. And this is what God says about worshiping anyone other than him. Psalm 115 verse 8, "Those who make them," those who make idols, "become like them. So do all that trust in them." Okay? So guys, we all worship something, and what we worship changes us into that thing. You go, "No, that's not true." Okay, let me pick on the men for a second. Men that are here, and God has blessed you. Let's go back to middle school or high school, shall we? Back in middle school, high school, if you're my age, maybe you were into, I don't know, a band like Nirvana and Smells Like Teen Spirit until you met that girl that was country, right? So your genre of music was not that, but then you met that country girl, and I tell you what, sucker, you got them Wranglers on, you got yourself a cowboy hat, big old buckle, and next thing you know, you're like, "You start walking, I'll start walking your way, and you start walking mine. We'll meet in the middle, neath that old Georgia." I mean, and you had it, right? And then that died out, and the next one was hip hop. You know, so you turn your hat backwards. You got that slow fade working. You're like, yeah, right. I want to rock right now. I want a mic. And it's time to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock a microphone. Like that's your life. Not just with relationships, but with sports figures, right? I told you I worship sports, man. Listen, Houston, Texas. Man, the Rockets were my team. We played basketball almost every day in my house, right? All the kids in my neighborhood had a goal outside. They'd come over to my house. And so, man, Olajuwon, late 80s, early 90s, man, he killed it with a move that they came known as the Dream Shake. He'd be about 8, 10 feet off the basket on the baseline. He would fake this way, which he was fast enough to take the baseline from you. He'd fake back this way. Then he'd turn around, fade, nothing but net. Over, and so we would do that. Man, we would be back, Dream Shake, all the time, because we become like what we worship, don't we? So that's the first thing I want you to know, guys. It's the first thing I want you to know. Worship changes us. It makes us into the thing that we worship. That's why the Bible is so important, that we worship God and God alone. Second thing I want you to know is worshiping God is meant to affect every area of our lives. It's meant to affect every area of our lives. Back to verse 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Notice that phrase, living sacrifice, that is a holistic term that's meant to encompass every area of our life, right? Worshiping God, making Him my focus, longing to know Him is meant to, if I do that, then God begins to naturally change me, and it affects every area of my life. As I say, God, I want to know what your thoughts are on this, then my thoughts begin to look like His thoughts, and I start to think differently. And I say, God, I want to know how you want me to live, and I learn how God wants me to live, and now I start to act differently and talk differently, and I begin to understand the gospel and how God has loved me even when I was an enemy, and that I'm called to go love others and to share the gospel with them. And now I start to love people differently and treat people differently. You guys follow me? In every area of my life, naturally from the inside out, begins to start to look more and more and more like God, because that's who I'm pursuing. That's who I'm worshiping. And we become like the things that we worship. We emulate them. You guys follow me? It's a big, big deal. Which brings me to my third point, is that God designed all this to draw others to Himself. God designed all this to draw others to Himself. Exodus 33, Moses, he goes outside of the camp and he puts up a tent so that he can meet with God. And he calls that tent, I think Moses might have needed a marketing department. He calls that tent, ready? Crazy name, super memorable, ready? The Tent of Meeting. That's where he would meet with God, okay? So Moses goes out to this tent of meeting, and he meets with God, and he speaks with God. And every time Moses is done, he is so changed by being in the presence of God that when he walks out of the tent, his face is literally glowing, right? I can't explain the glow to you, but the people saw it, and it affected them so much that, get this, then from then on, when Moses would go out to meet with God in the tent of meeting, when he would go out, the people themselves would go and stand at the front of their own tents. And when Moses entered, they would bow down and they began to worship God. Okay? What God did in Moses, the way that God changed Moses, ended up changing the whole nation. You follow me? And that is by design. That's by design. God designed us to come into His presence and to be changed by Him, and that when we leave, others will see a difference in us. Don't believe me? Look at the words of Jesus, Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill can't be hidden. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You say, Pastor, why are we talking about worship? Because worship is the first way as a church that we seek to implement our mission, which is transformation. Okay? Because worship changes us. So through this series, we're hopeful to be able to hear stories of how God is changing people in our presence. So what I'm going to do right now, Kevin's going to come up and add a couple of seats, and I'm going to invite some friends. I guess this stays over here. Invite some friends to join me. And so guys, Scotty and Leah Stevens are going to join us today and talk to us a little bit about what God has recently done in their relationship. And do we have the mic? Where's our announcement mic? Oh, okay. Hold on. Kevin stole your mic. It's fine. Wherever you want to sit. Let's go. No. We got to have a mic. It's great. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. You guys can just look at me if you don't want to look in their faces. I think you're actually starting first, Scotty. So you guys have been with us for a bit. I mean, well, you were with us before there was you, and then once there started being, they're dating, and we began to see this, who is this guy you're bringing around? And so, Scotty, how long have you guys been married?
So it will be 8 years this coming May.
Awesome. Praise God. Yep. And y'all have one little one together. Who's that out there?
It's Pete.
That's Pete.
Yeah, we have a Pete, but we don't have a repeat. So just Pete.
And how old is Pete, Scotty?
Pete will be 7 in May.
Mm. What are your favorite things doing with Pete?
Well, we love hitting the golf ball. We love hitting the baseball. He's really into sports. He loves all that stuff. He loves Legos, which is fun. And we love the PGA store and bowling.
Oh, that's awesome. So can you tell me, it's still you, can you tell me a little bit, like, so what was a marriage like before going through re-engage? What were some of the challenges that you guys were facing in your own words, Scotty?
Well, just to be honest, we started re-engage and got about halfway through it, and we just kind of stopped, probably on my end about stopping. But some of the stuff
last year.
Yeah, so yeah. We re-engaged again and came back. But what we were struggling with on both of our fronts were just communication and not communicating exactly what we want, just communication in general, yeah. Just trying to be less defensive when it comes to things in our lives that we discuss,
yeah.
And just being on trying to be – you know, in the front of what we're trying to do in relationship, just communicating that and what our goals are in our relationship and marriage. And I think that was something that we struggled with before we started to engage.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Leah. What was the turning point that you realized you needed, like what led you back to, when did you realize that we've got to do something? What was that turning point like?
So for me, when we quit re-engage before, I was extremely upset because it was something I wanted to finish, but it wasn't, for him and I, we were having more trouble after leaving re-engage when we got home.
Scotty is agreeing.
And because we were trying to be honest and you know, work with our group, but so the communication between us just all started to falter, and I mean, our voices would get elevated. Pete would see some things, you know, that we didn't want him to grow up in a home of arguments, and so I was like, look, we've got to do something, and I said, we have to do re-engage, and it was pretty much a yes thing.
Yeah.
We have to, because we love each other. And we wanted to transform our marriage. And we knew through Christ that was the only way that we could do it.
Yeah. And these guys have been, Scotty's dad's a pastor. You raised in church. You guys have been believers for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Re-engage was important. So this is for both of you. You can trade off whenever. How would you say your relationship with each other has changed? And how have you personally changed through the process? What's different?
Well, Brian and Dana are amazing group leaders for Reengage. We were in their group, and you know, we approached it with just an open mind, but for us it was just like it clicked, and it was just at one time we were like, you know, we love each other. We don't want to be separated. Mm. We don't want divorce. And so why are we doing this? And it was just such an epiphany that, I don't know, but through the process of reengage, opening up and sharing with other couples, I mean, that's what made it happen, for sure.
Well, just like any group meeting that you have with other married people, you find out you're not on an island by yourself. Nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. And when we get here, some of the couples are discussing stuff, and we're like, oh, well, we deal with the same things at our house. And you don't realize that when you're at home at that moment, or those hours or minutes, whatever you are, when you're in your bedroom or in the living room after you have an argument or things are not clicking like that, you realize, you're thinking, man, I'm by myself, but you're really not. Mm-hmm. Everybody deals with the same stuff. We all wake up. We all put one leg in each pants, just like everybody else does. So the deal was, is we left reengaged, and we sit in the car, and I would tell her, and she would tell me, we're not going to come from a defensive position on anything.
Yeah.
And that changed tremendously. When we just said, hey, you talk, I talk, or I talk, you talk, and once we talked, we just left it at that. And that's our feelings on this, and we just went and we made sure that we sat down together at night after reengage and at least had 2 or 3 minutes where we held each other and we talked close instead of from a distance. And just that little bit of comfort right there changes the world. It wow. will. It'll change the world.
Wow. Ooh, that's awesome. So what's the biggest surprise that came out of this with you guys? What's the biggest blessing?
Oh, well, I mean, just being able to sit up here and be a testimony, you know, is amazing that, you know, we've worked through some issues. We were laughing last night. When did our issues start? We were married on May the 2nd, and we were like, oh, they started May the 3rd. But, I mean, that's not true, but, I mean, the couples in our group, and it was such a diverse group, but yet it was so, we were so connected that it just to realize that we all, you know, had something in common, but we all love the Lord.
Yeah.
And we want to grow through the Lord and through reengage, you know, the relationship is you and the Lord and then you and your marriage. And you know, that's something that we really focused on.
Yeah. Well, and you know, being raised in church, I think sometimes, you know, we talk about the gospel here a lot, mm-hmm. right? And that we, you know, it shows us we all need Christ and we're all broken and we're all, but sometimes when you're raised in church, you feel like you've got to have it all together. Mm-hmm. So when you're really confronted with the gospel, like it can be scary. Like, wait, I really am broken. I don't have it all together. And so your biggest blessing, like that you would just thank God for through all this?
Well, you take the time to, sometimes those little, what I call just like, man, when I'd come home or we would talk on the phone during the day and it just, something didn't feel right, like maybe through a text or just calling or whatever. Right before I got out of the truck when I'd got home, I would just close my eyes, say a quick little prayer that these thoughts that are in my head are not right. And hopefully when we get in there, everything's going to be like it should be. And it's been amazing to me just taking that time to touch base with the Lord before I walk in the house. It changes my attitude. And man, it's been where I go in and it's not anything that I expected the reaction would be. Everything's hunky-dory, you know. And it's because, and I look back at it, is that those times that I touch base and I make sure that I'm right in with the Lord before I walk into any situation at home, mm-hmm. and I make sure that I touch base with the Lord and just ask him, hey, let me be at ease, let everything be at ease, because sometimes it can be hectic at home and it can go south real quick with some things. And I think what reengage has done for us is we had this was the strangest thing. Sorry about my voice. I was in a basketball tournament yesterday, so me and Travis both screamed all day yesterday. But we had redos, which I thought was the kind of the weirdest, kind of kookiest thing. Do-overs. I'm sorry. Redos, do-overs.
Mulligans, man.
Mulligans. Do-overs. We had do-overs, and it almost, it wasn't comical, but one time she was like, all right, let's do a do-over. And I stopped. And then one time I said, let's do a do-over. And then you think about it and you go, man, that's it. Just because some things that matter, matter, and some things don't. It's mm-hmm. the lipsticks and rouge on stuff. It's just the outside. It's not the inside.
Yeah.
And we want to try to fix the inside. And I think Re-Engage just fixed the inside of both of us when it comes to marriage.
That's awesome. What would you say to somebody that's out there today that came to visit and they're really wanting to see change in their family? What would you guys say to them?
Well, I would say 2 points. And this is all the men in church, all the husbands. If there's never been a time in your life where you experienced a change where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've bought into the gospel and you've done something with the gospel, all this stuff we talk about is meaningless. Until you establish that relationship with Him, then all we talk about is frivolous to you. It doesn't matter. So that's the first point. The second point that I would make to all men here would be this. You got to go from thee to we. You got to get from the thee thought to the we thought. And once you take care of the thee is never compromised. So always, just that's the two biggest things. Accept Christ. And when you get in a marriage relationship, you got to go we instead of thee.
That's awesome.
I don't know what to say except do it. You know, it was really, last year was a very frustrating time for us when we quit. And when we started again, I mean, it just, things got simpler. And I just want you to know that, like, the groups in there, like, we talk about a lot of different things, a lot of different things. And it's great because we're humans.
Yeah.
And you know what? We were challenged with worldly challenges. And so if you're going to do it, put your whole heart in, do the homework, and show up to the groups. Because when you miss one, it's hard. I was sick during one. Scotty FaceTimed me, and it was when we were on the S-Talk.
Oh.
And it was very... abnormal FaceTime.
You don't know
everybody.
What that means. Yeah. We'll talk after service.
Yeah, but it was great. It was great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey guys, can we thank the Lord together for what He's done in the life of the Stevens? Amen. I want to pray for you guys real quick. We're going to ask you to head back down. Lord, thank you for Scotty and Leah. You're a God that can do anything. You are a God that can do anything. So thank you for allowing them to re-engage. Thank you for bringing them closer together. Thank you for showing them that do-overs are doable and okay. And God, I pray that you continue this transforming work in their life and their marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Great job. Great job. Amen. Hey, love you. Thank you. Great job. All right, so we got to give you application. I got to get you out of here. They're gonna catch me if I don't get you where you need to go. So 3 things real quick. Number one is exactly what Scotty said. Guys, it all starts with Jesus. You've got to receive the gospel, right? Every week we talk about the fact that God loved you so much that He gave His one and only Son, that Jesus stepped out of heaven and into humanity, that He lived the perfect life that we couldn't, that He fulfilled the law for us. So it's no longer, am I good enough? It's just, hey, He was good enough. I believe in Him. That's what it is. So He also died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. If we put our trust in Him, the Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is where it begins, with a relationship with Christ, okay? So that's first and foremost. Second, I want to challenge you to make worship a priority. It's got to be a priority, guys. And again, it's meant to change every year. It's not just what we do here. Guys, what we do here is meant to travel, okay? But you got to make it a priority. Statistics say the average church attender right now shows up every third week. Whew! Maybe you guys aren't as big of a sinner as I am. I got to be here all the time. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I got to have a special service. Just me in the car and Jesus. Like, I struggle. And so, man, I want to be like Christ. I got to make that renewing of my mind. That has to be a priority in my life, okay? So, huge, huge deal. Lastly, man, I want to encourage you. This is going to be part of this series. If you are looking for a place for a church to find community, man, come check us out, right? man, we would love for you to join. Our goal is to see your family change. That's our goal. It may take some time. Sometimes people come in and they're like, you know, on day one, they're like, man, I'm expecting everything. Day one, I want all the relationships. And it takes time. We got to get you into community. You may have to sign up for a class. But as you do it, the gospel brings transformation. It just does, okay? It just does. I'm going to do this. I want to pray for us real quick, and then Kevin's got some announcements. I do want to ask you, if you don't mind, bowing your heads and closing your eyes for a moment. Every week, guys, we want to make sure that if there's anybody here that they have an opportunity to do exactly what Scotty said, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you have never done that in your life, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to take a moment and I just want to ask, is there anyone here that today, man, you heard their story, that God brought that marriage back to life? Maybe you're somebody just individually, you're like, I know that I'm a wreck, I know that I'm a mess, and I just want God in my life. You've never asked him to take control of you before, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. If that's you today, just where you are, nobody is looking, just would you raise your hand and say, man, I would love to put my faith and trust in Jesus today. I'd like him to come into my life and save me. I'd like him to forgive me of my sin. Anybody, just raise your hand, okay? I see that hand in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else on this side? I'm just looking. Okay. Okay. Listen, if you raise your hand real quick, just look at me. Just make eye contact with me. Nobody else is looking. You just look up at me real quick. I see you. Okay. Come talk to me at the end. It's the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Okay. Let's pray together. If that's you and you would like Christ, maybe you didn't even have the courage to raise your hand, but you would like to give your life over to God. You want to become a child of God. You want to put your faith and trust in Jesus. We do that. It's got to be something from our hearts. So we're going to do that through prayer. I can't think of a more heartful experience. So for you that raised your hands, for you that wanted to, you're going to hear the church come alongside and pray for you now. And there's nothing magic about these words. It's the act of saying, I know that I need saving. Jesus, please do so. So let's pray together. We're going to pray out loud. Dear God, come to you right now, and I want to ask you to forgive me. I know that I've sinned. I know that your standard is way higher than good. And I know there's nothing I can do to meet that standard on my own. But Jesus, I heard today that you did for me what I couldn't do for myself. That you lived the perfect life I couldn't. And you died for my sins. Please come into my life now. Take control. Forgive me. Make me yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible would say,